The desire to follow Christ certainly is a powerful one, but it's one that's often met with many obstacles. Indeed, this powerful story that we have presented to us and the opportunity to reflect on shows us indeed that many times we must overcome and face obstacles on our way to encountering Christ. Bartimaeus had to face the crowd, a crowd that's seizing him, saying, "Be silent, don't cry out to the Lord." Kind of very similar to many of the obstacles that we face today. And if we think about, or perhaps in the past, we faced these obstacles. People saying, "Don't go after Christ, he can't help you. He and the whole church thing, you don't need that." There's been many times lots of obstacles in our life. I know I even had a priest, when I told him I was discerning the priesthood, he looked at me and said, "Don't do it." But the call of the Lord is stronger, and that desire to follow the Lord gives us the grace and the courage to overcome those obstacles, just as Bartimaeus does. To look at the crowd and to look at the possible rejection and say, "No, I know what the Lord can do for me, and I want that, and I'm willing to overcome every obstacle." So Jesus walks by, and Bartimaeus hears that Jesus is coming. Remember, he's blind, so he can't see him, doesn't know exactly where he is, so he has to wait and kind of listen for cues from the crowd. Perhaps there's people saying and talking about how close Jesus is, and maybe he can hear that. And he hears, "Be silent." And he cries out all the more. He will not let that desire to see Christ go unfulfilled. So Bartimaeus is a great example for us, actually. Bartimaeus, it's interesting that we know his name. He's the only person that Jesus heals in Mark's gospel whose name is preserved. He's the only one. There's a significance in that. Mark is showing his readers, his audience, primarily Jewish Christians in the early church as well, those who have following Christ along the way, the significance of Bartimaeus. Perhaps his name is recorded because Bartimaeus, in addition to this story, maybe we don't know anything else about him, but he could have been very prominent in the early church. Maybe he was one of those that didn't leave Jesus after the resurrection or after the bread of life discourse. Perhaps Bartimaeus stayed loyal to Jesus and a loyal follower, and after Pentecost came out and went around proclaiming and preaching the word. There's significance that Mark records his name for us. He's the only one, again, of all those who were healed by the Lord to be preserved by name in the gospel. So very powerful details that we get. Furthermore, this story is set against a very dynamic, a very powerful backdrop. Jesus is leaving Jericho and marching towards Jerusalem. Now, Jericho and Jerusalem are about 3,000 feet apart in elevation. Jericho is about 3,000 feet lower than Jerusalem. So Jesus and his disciples are walking uphill, and it's about a 17-mile journey from Jericho to Jerusalem. So 17 miles with about a 3,000-foot elevation gain. That's not an easy walk. And that's where Jesus meets Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus gets up and he leaves everything behind and he goes after Christ to walk uphill 3,000 feet over 17 miles. There's great power in what Bartimaeus can give for us. And so the significance then of Jericho to Jerusalem is that Jericho is set in the historical background for Israel in the Exodus. Jericho is the first city that Joshua led the Israelites in conquest against when they entered the Promised Land. So they just cross the Jordan River, they go in and they begin to retake their homeland in accord with God's covenant. Jericho is the first city that they conquer as they take the Ark of the Covenant and march around the city walls for 7 days. Around the walls of Jericho went the Ark of the Covenant. So it's in this background, right, that Israel takes possession of their homeland, that they are being restored, that our Lord comes in and meets Bartimaeus in his blindness. Blindness, which in those days was considered a consequence of great sin, so meaning that Bartimaeus was a social outcast, a great sinner, and kind of no right to the inheritance of Israel. But he cries out to the Lord. Jesus meets him, heals his blindness, and then Bartimaeus leaves everything and follows him along the way. So Bartimaeus and Jesus and the rest of the disciples are following the path of Israel into their heavenly homeland, into the life of grace as they climb up the mountain. So they come out of the valley of the shadow of death, out of the darkness of sin, out of the blindness that brings, and into the light of God's presence on the mountain. There's great symbolism. It's a very dynamic story set before us, just in these little details. And then, of course, we have the beautiful confession of who Jesus is by Bartimaeus. For the first time, someone publicly acknowledges Jesus as the promised Messiah in Mark's gospel. Jesus, son of David, have pity on me. He's the first person to see what nobody else can see, and he's blind. The great sense of irony there in Mark dripping in this story. But in that confession that Jesus is the son of David, Bartimaeus is placing his hopes and his desires in Christ, and he will let nothing stop him from encountering Christ, the Savior. Nothing can come in the way between him and Christ. We see the fickleness of the crowd as they go from telling him to be silent one moment to then Jesus says, bring him here. He doesn't even say to Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus, come. He tells the crowd, bring me Bartimaeus. So then the crowd changes in a heartbeat. Going from be silent to come, take courage, he's calling you. How fickle are the hearts of the people around us? How fickle is the crowd, the voices of the world that cries out, be silent one moment, you don't need Christ, to now go, he's calling you. So we can see how quickly our hearts can change, and still there's Bartimaeus. His faith is constant in all of that, and Jesus' desire for Bartimaeus is constant. That's why the voice of the Lord, that encounter with the Lord, that's why that's what we look to. That's the constant in our life. Over and against these voices that say one thing one minute, another thing the next moment. How do we make heads or tails of it all? By keeping our gaze on Christ. By calling out to the Lord and asking him to be there for us, just as Bartimaeus does. It's a very powerful image for us to take into consideration. To think that the blind man sees what nobody else does. That's the great irony of Christ and the great irony of what being a disciple and a follower of Christ is all about. So then Jesus comes to Bartimaeus and seemingly asks a ridiculous question on the surface level at first glance. What do you want me to do for you? You can almost hear Bartimaeus go, well, I'm kind of blind. You could almost hear that, but Jesus is doing something more. Jesus knows, obviously he knows he's God. He knows what Bartimaeus wants. But what he's doing by asking Bartimaeus this question in front of the whole crowd of all these spectators, he's inviting them to see how personal Jesus wants to encounter each one of us. By going to Bartimaeus and saying, what do you want me to do for you? He's inviting Bartimaeus to participate in God's work of creation and of redemption and of salvation. Because remember, Jesus doesn't force himself upon anybody. He invites. And so when he says, what do you want me to do for you? That's Bartimaeus's moment of triumph. That's his vindication before the crowd to say, I want to see. I want to see. Not just, I want to be healed, I want to see. What do I want to see? I want to see the world. I want to see you, whom my heart longs for the most. I want to see the fulfillment of God's covenant. I want to see all of these promises that God has made to us come true. All encapsulated in that simple response to Bartimaeus. And so that Jesus is asking this question of Bartimaeus isn't because Jesus doesn't know what Bartimaeus wants. It's a personalized encounter. It's the same thing for each of us. So Bartimaeus then can stand in quite easily for each one of us as we cry out in our blindness, in our brokenness, in that desire for Christ, where we can hear the Lord say to each one of us, what do you want me to do for you? Then we cry out, I want to see. Bartimaeus is this allegory for us, this analogy by which we get to see the Lord. And in that, we can hear then said to us what Jesus says to Bartimaeus. Go, your faith has saved you. And the Bartimaeus immediately leaves everything behind and follows the Lord. It's interesting that Mark records as well that when Bartimaeus has that encounter with the Lord, when he gets the chance to stand up and answer the Lord's question, he leaves his cloak behind. Supposedly an insignificant detail, and yet that would have been Bartimaeus' most prized possession, that cloak. It's a blanket, it's shelter from the elements, and it's protection. It's possibly even a mat where as a blind beggar, he can sit on and spread out, and people can leave almsgiving and tithes for him on that cloak. And he leaves all of that behind. when Christ heals him. He's all behind. Bartimaeus is so transformed by this encounter with Christ that he never wants to go back to his old self. He never wants to go back to that sin, to that darkness, to that blindness. He's willing to walk the hill, walk the path up to Jerusalem with Christ because he has found the one for whom his heart yearns. That's a great call for each of us, too. What's our blindness? What's our brokenness? What is it that if Christ came to us right now and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" What's our response? Because that is precisely where Christ wants to encounter us. That's precisely where Christ wants to meet us so he can heal us, draw that out of us like you draw poison out of a wound, and invite us to the new life of grace as we walk the hill towards Jerusalem and to Calvary and to the new life of grace and the Holy Spirit and our faith in Jesus Christ. So that question, what's our blindness? What's our sinfulness? It's a powerful question. It's one worth asking ourselves, but it's one worth answering. Because in that encounter that we have with Christ, in that brokenness, that's where we find that invitation to the new life of grace. That same invitation that Jesus gave to Bartimaeus is extended to each one of us. And then once we make that response, once we say, I want to see all your promises, I want to see the fulfillment of God's salvation for my life, then we should desire to never go back to where we were. We should desire to never want to sin. We should never even want to have the desire for sin. It should be so profound and so radical, the transformation that Christ works within us, that we should be like Bartimaeus. We should be willing to leave everything behind. And if we're not, then we need to ask ourselves, why? Why am I not willing to leave this behind? It's especially powerful, I think, in light of all the events today. Are we willing to allow Christ to enter into that brokenness, right? Perhaps we're struggling with, how can these priests have done these horrible things and these bishops just cover it up? How can we be following Christ along the way? Perhaps there's some teaching of the church that we don't agree with, the teaching on life, the teaching on some of the social teachings of the church. Perhaps there's something that we're struggling with that we don't agree with. That's our brokenness. That's where we need to allow the Lord to heal us. That's exactly where the Lord wants to meet us, to transform us, and that's what we need to be willing to leave behind so that we can follow Christ perfectly and totally and immediately. It's a quick response, it's a total response, and it's a transformative response. And all of this takes place in that dynamic road between Jericho and Jerusalem. That idea, that backdrop, that for Israel, God fights for us. That God fights for us and wants to drive that sin away, but he won't do it unless we cooperate with him and allow him to do it. That's God. That's God's grace being poured upon us. He loves us too much to force himself upon us. In free will, we have to cooperate and accept that grace, that offer of new life that he gives us. And if we can do that, then we can experience the same joy that Bartimaeus feels in his soul at being healed and following Christ along the way. Then we can make that march with triumph as Christ enters into Jerusalem, as he prepares to enter into his passion where he will give his life for the sins and the life of the world. That's where Christ is going now, and that's where Bartimaeus ironically joins Christ along the way. He joins Christ as he's on his way to Jerusalem to be killed, to be handed over. Bartimaeus enters into that, and he's joyful about it, and that's where he wants to be. That's where we should want to be as well. And if we're not quite there yet, then we need to ask for that grace, that like Bartimaeus, we can cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." Allow the Lord to heal us and then leave our cloak behind and follow our Lord.